Hello, friend, and welcome to the Dig Your Well podcast. I'm Jane Johnson, author, speaker, scripture digger, and most importantly, a woman who is currently caught in a passionate love affair with the Word of God. I love to study it, I love to teach it, and most of all, I love to teach women like you how to study it. If you're ready to take your understanding of the Bible to the next level and learn a system of scripture study that will forever change your mornings with Jesus, then I highly recommend you check out my course, The School of Scripture, at digmywell.com/SOS. Throughout these episodes, you will be educated not just on the nuances of what's happening inside the context of a particular Bible passage, but also how to find those same nuggets in scripture between episodes on your own. My hope and my prayer is that you leave here having fallen more deeply in love with God's word than you were when you came, and that you are empowered to discover similar lightbulb moments on your own in your morning digging every single day. But for now, it's time to dig your well, for you and for the generations who follow along after you. So, friend, let's dig in. Hello, friend. We've covered a lot of ground this season in the last 6 episodes, talking about our giftings and our callings and the wild ways that the Holy Spirit can pour himself out when we have the gall to believe him for those things. But I can't let you go without talking about just a couple more quick things. I want to wrap all of this up with you with one last story. So today, you and I are going to hang out with the mud and the spiders. My secondborn, when he was a toddler, loved his water cup, but not for drinking. He liked to pretend that he was a human sprinkler. "Swallow your water," I would say multiple times a day as he would try and spit the water out when I wasn't looking. One afternoon, I must have said, "Don't spit on your brother," at least 5 times, quickly followed by another warning. "Drink the water. Do not hold it in your mouth." He grinned impishly, eyes twinkling, cheeks chipmunk puff for a few seconds while weighing the obedience or consequence options. It's really tricky teaching these kinds of lessons to toddlers because we also have stories of Jesus spitting in the Bible, and I have to explain the difference. Just as I had to explain another Bible difference that same morning when my oldest, then 3, came stomping into the room with his Bible storybook in hand, pointing accusingly at the Passover story with the blood on the doorpost. "That's Jesus's blood on the door," he said. "Mommy, Jesus picked his nose and made it bleed. He's supposed not to do that." "You're right," I said. Do you see what happens when you pick your nose?" And I assured him that I would make sure to pass along the admonishment to Jesus and tell him that he shouldn't pick his nose. Anyway, I digress. There aren't many people that will stand still and let you spit on them, but the blind man just about did that in John 9. He stood by while Jesus spat on the ground, making mud and spreading it like an ointment on the man's eyes. "Go, wash your eyes off," Jesus said when he finished. And when the man came back, he could see for the first time in his life. With the miracle of new sight, his tune changed. He was no longer begging for help on the street corner the way that he had his entire life. Now he was only singing Jesus's praises. Read through to the end of John 9, you'll see it. When Jesus used the saliva from his mouth to make the mud that would put a new song in that once blind man's mouth, you could say that he transferred the song from his mouth straight to that man's. In Psalm 40, David glories about God's mud pit rescue and the new song that God put into his mouth, his spirit still spread over with the mud that opened his eyes to just how life-changing it was. "I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined to me, and he heard my cry," David said in the first 3 verses of Psalm 40. "He also brought me up out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock, and established my steps. He has put a new song in my mouth, praise to our God. Many will see it in fear and will trust in the Lord." The mud grows us, my friend Hannah Brencher likes to say. The mud transforms us. The mud puts new songs in our mouths. She's not wrong, because when you're stuck in the mud, you're begging for God's rescue. And once your feet are planted firmly outside of the mud pit and onto steady, solid ground, you sing praises to the God who brought you out and plucked you right on out of it. It's another morning, a year or 2 later, when I pull my journal out. Groggy and frustrated that I entirely ignored another morning alarm, and my husband, for what it's worth, wasn't all that thrilled about it either. But that morning, I tried to eke out whatever amount of quiet time that I could as cartoons played in the background and little mouths munched on their morning cereal. The truth of that morning was that I'd struggled for the better part of the year, fighting to get out my words in a way that I never had before. The song in my head that vied for my attention had been a siren song telling me to just give up already. I'd never had to fight so hard for something as I did for the course that I was writing, not even when I was writing my book. And so it was that I went through my days with the "What's the Point" song marked by the "Nobody Wants It" chorus that I could not get out of my head. The eighth grade version of me loved to slather on a good weekend mud bask. It became a high stakes challenge between my sister and me. Who would last the longest with the itching and the skin tightening without an early wash off? And I usually lost. So I appreciate that God gave the man born blind a divine purpose through the power of a miraculous mud eye mask in John 9. And in John 37, God changed the trajectory of a young seeing man's life with a mud pit. Neither one of them asked for the mud, but both of them were forever changed by it. Joseph, the Genesis 37 kid, he was like any other young man with stars in his eyes, dreaming of how his life would shape up. Only he dreamed actual, literal sleeping dreams of being in a position of power over his entire family. And being the young man that he was, he naively shared those dreams with his family, specifically his brothers. And it wasn't long after that that his angry and envious brothers threw him into a cistern slash mud pit and eventually sold him into slavery. Joseph was 17 when that happened. And as he sat in that pit, he was likely so angry he could spit. But after he lived some life and saw the favor of God in it all, he sang a different song. A dozen or so years went by before he saw his brothers again, and like a good mud mask, the mud had softened Joseph. They expected the worst kind of retaliation from him, but he only showed them the best form of kindness, which is forgiveness. Maybe you're in a mud pit feeling trapped in or tripped up or even tricked over. It's frustrating, I know, but when you finally tire of clawing at the wall and take a breath and give your arms a rest, chew on this. The only difference between a cistern and a well is a little bit of water. So lean into that mud. Dig your heels in, dig down deep into God's presence with white knuckle faith, and get those John 7 rivers of living water flowing. As the days go on, you'll begin to float on top of that water as those days float on by, and your perspective will soften over time. You'll see the why behind it all, and you'll sing a new tune. You'll be able to say like Joseph did, "You planned evil against me, but God took the plans of that pit and used it for my good." The morning cereal turned to carpet crumbs as little bird mouths clamored for more of a substantial breakfast. Later, the laundry pile gave me a side eye. There's an appointment to meet. And then while my three birds sat and ate their lunch, I read an email about a spider. The words of it shone light on the cobwebs I felt like I'd been pushing through as I made my way through that year. As I read it, I saw the ground beneath my two bare feet, all bare dirt. The air was musty, the light barely there only because my eyes had slowly and painstakingly adjusted themselves to the darkness. It felt like I was walking through a mine, if I'm being honest, with doors that are sticking and take all of my weight to break through just to find more cold dirt and heavy air and cobwebs and stuck doors on the other side. But a friend wrote an email about Bible digging with her mom looking for spiders, and it stuck to me. So I did some digging of my own, and I found a verse in Proverbs 30:24, and the four things that are little on this earth but are also exceedingly wise. The fourth tiny little wise creature is the spider. Now, my brain was tired and nap time was fleeting, so I turned to my favorite commentary to do the digging for me when I read these words. Spiders are ingenious in weaving their webs with a fineness and exactness that no art can even begin to approach. They take hold with their hands and spin a fine thread out of their own bowels with a great deal of art. Boy, did I feel those words. Deep down in the core of my being, I felt them because these words are my spider's thread and they come spilling out of the deepest parts of my bowels and I have no idea what they will become until I just start weaving them together. Never mind the setbacks and discouragements that come when the most artfully and skillfully and intentionally woven web is thoughtlessly slept away by the brush off of someone else's hand. The spider, she just gets up and makes another web, taking her time, not rushing, not trying to outgrow the grass or chase the light or outweave the spider next door. And undeterred by what seems like every hand, not only against her, but also seeking to eliminate her work. I turn it all over in my mind, pondering all of it in my heart, the mud and the well and the spider who won't quit doing what she does naturally just because a big old hand comes swatting her work out of the way. It turns out even spiders have to gather the gall to build again, to weave again, because that silky thread is going to come pouring out of her bowels anyway. So she knows she might as well make it into something beautiful. All right, friend, that's it for season one of the Dig Your Well podcast. If you want more, I have a digging deeper guide waiting for you at janejohnson.com/podcast. In it, you will look up biblical definitions of words in this episode. You'll pair Bible passages together related to today's topic, and you're going to make it all personal to you by turning it into one big faith-filled prayer. So go to janejohnson.com/podcast, find today's episode, and download your guide. And if you're looking for a private space to gather with other scripture diggers like you and me to be encouraged, challenged, and fall deeper in love with God's word that we are already all absolutely enamored with, the link's waiting for you along with a free 14-day trial at janejohnson.com/podcast.